When asked who our oldest ancestor is, you might say Lucy, the famous 3.2 million-year-old fossil found in East Africa. For decades, paleoanthropologists thought the origin of our species was in that region, but recent fossil findings in South Africa are inspiring scientists to think humanity's homeland is moving south. Gemma Tarlak's here to break down the story for us. She's a senior editor at Discover Magazine based in Waukesha. She joins us once a month to talk about some of the coolest science news. Gemma, welcome back to Central Time.
Hi, always good to be with you, Rob.
Before we get to the fossils, Gemma, I understand this is one of your favorite David Bowie songs, 5 years.
Yeah.
Your thoughts on the news today and Bowie's music?
Well, you know, it broke my heart, and I know some of my baby boomer friends will take issue with this, but David Bowie, he was my Beatles. He was my Rolling Stones. So it's very sad, and, you know, a lot of the times I find this fascinating relevance in his music to what I cover in science.
Yeah.
And, you know, I always thought of 5 years. If you know the song, it's about finding out that we've got 5 years left because we've broken the earth and it's dying. And I always associate that song the past several years with climate change. You know, just this, yep, you did it. You broke the world. Congratulations. So it's sad in that way, but I always found his music so positive, so tremendously positive and creative. And yeah, it's kind of a downer day for me, so.
It is, but on the upside, he, I think, always had us looking outward and upward, and that'll take us into what we really have you here to talk about today,
absolutely.
Digging deeper into our origins as humans. And now South Africa is the hot spot for finding hominin fossils, our closest ancestors through history. And people didn't think we were going to find them there in South Africa.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. Some of the earliest fossil finds in the early 20th century were actually in South Africa. And that was great. Australopith africanus was found there, and that was a big deal. And then things really, in about the middle of the 20th century, things quieted down, and everybody started looking at Eastern Africa. That's where Lucy was found. That's where a lot of other fossils were found as well. And people just started to think, we're finding all these fossils in East Africa. This must be really where our ancestors originated, where we evolved. And so the spotlight really kind of focused on East Africa for decades, to the point where, you know, in the 1990s, a leading paleoanthropologist actually said, there's no point in even looking in South Africa. Everything that's there to find, we've already found. And, wow, he really had to eat those words, because ever since then, we have been making incredible discoveries. Of course, we talked about Homo naledi on a previous show, a previous spot with you guys, and that was a huge find from last year. A whole new member of the Homo genus, very exciting. But there are a lot of other finds, including Littlefoot. Littlefoot, we thought, was about 2 million years old. It's this wonderfully, wonderfully preserved hominid fossil. But it turns out Littlefoot is 3.67 years old from South Africa.
So he's older than Lucy.
Yeah, older than Lucy by almost half a million years. And such rich finds are coming out where no one even thought to look. Now that they're looking, they're finding them.
And Gemma, before we climb further up the family tree, I want to talk about how we're finding these finds that at least some people thought weren't there to find. Do we get better at looking? Do we start looking in different areas in South Africa? What happened?
Well, you know, fossils throughout Africa, actually throughout the world, it's really a matter of climate and geography. There are some places where you will not find any fossils just because it's very humid and there's no possibility of preservation. South Africa, though, it's different than East Africa, but in South Africa, there are all these cave systems. There are just miles and miles and miles of cave systems, some of them very difficult to reach and very difficult to explore. There are some theories, for example, that a lot of these early hominids were basically prey for some of the large cats that were roaming around, and the cats would, you know, kill the hominin, drag them up the tree, and then, you know, eat them in the tree, and the bones would fall and land in these crevices that feed into these cave systems. That's one theory about why we might be finding all these fossils, but they're all in these cave systems that are often we don't even know about, and then some amateur spelunker stumbles upon a new chamber and finds, wow, it's full of bones.
Well, and yeah, Homo naledi, right? That was the story. This is really hard to get to. They had to advertise for really tiny, petite archaeologists to dig in, to crawl in and get to these things. And there were a lot of them there. This wasn't just a big cat dropping them out of a tree.
Right, and that's the really fascinating thing about Homo naledi, is that this cave, this particular spot where they found them, it was never open to the ground above. It's always been a chamber accessed through a series of very, very narrow passages, and some of them almost completely vertical. But what the amazing thing about Homo naledi is, really, they found more than 1,500 fossils from at least 15 different individuals. And the number of fossils they found, combined with the fact that there was no easy way to get those fossils there, that's really what has led researchers to say that they believe they were deliberately placed there, deliberately sort of buried there, if you will, which would be a huge finding, because we thought that behavior was pretty much only us and the Neanderthals were capable of actually burying our dead.
Talking to Gemma Tarlak from Discover Magazine, based in Waukesha, about an explosion, really, in recent years of attention to fossils from South Africa changing our human family tree, where we came from, some of our closest ancestors. And Gemma, yeah, I mean, I had textbooks throughout the years. They showed Homo habilis, Homo erectus, Australopithecines over here. Are we reaching for the erasers here and scrambling to figure out who fits where in this puzzle?
Absolutely. And you know, if you talk to the paleoanthropologists, they can't agree, and sometimes they don't even agree with themselves. I remember speaking with one last year about some other finds in Europe, and he was contradicting himself during the interview. And he said, you know, I'm kind of changing my mind as I go along, just because we're really stumbling on more and more finds that challenge what we thought we knew, whether it be about location, where a species arose and evolved first, or whether it's about, for example, the use of fire. One of the things our writer covers in our story about South African finds is the site of the Wonderwork Cave. They haven't found any fossils there yet, but they're finding evidence that fires were set deliberately, controlled fires, and that is a hallmark of advanced hominin behavior. You know, there are a lot of theories that having the use of fire allowed us to cook our food, that made the proteins more accessible and gave us bigger brains. So there are all these kind of chain reaction theories, and we're just kind of like uncovering the very first links in those chains. It's fascinating.
We've mentioned Homo naledi and Littlefoot. Who else have we met in South Africa?
Well, there's a ton of them, but we have to talk for a little bit about caribou. He is a member of the Australopithecus sediba species, and they, you know, were found in South Africa. That's the only place they've been found so far, about 2 million years old. Several individuals have been found, but caribou, which was a young male of the species, he's kind of held up as the base example. And they're fascinating because they're 2 million years old, but they have this really intriguing mix of very old features and newer features, you know, in terms of having a modern torso and limb proportions, but a pelvis that's more like a chimpanzee. So it's kind of, not only are we finding these new individuals, but they're made up of traits and features that we didn't expect to see combined with each other. So it's really making everyone kind of scratch their heads and rethink our family tree.
How do we figure out who's grandpa and who's a cousin of all these? Who's a branch that led to us and who's a branch that led nowhere, that eventually died out?
That is the $26,000 question, at least, maybe more than that. That is the Powerball question. It's a challenge because, you know, unfortunately, our techniques are not advanced enough to be able to really retrieve and read the DNA when we're talking millions of years. They're working on that, and I personally think in our lifetimes, we will find it possible to sequence the DNA from, you know, these very early ancestors of ours. But they have to look at things like the way specific traits evolved. You know, it's not like all of a sudden a species has a pelvis that's shaped in a certain way. These things evolve usually very slowly over time, and they can kind of tell that by comparing one to the other. But there are a lot of questions still out there.
Gemma, this takes me back to a theme, and I apologize. I think I keep saying this every time I talk to you, but this tells us, again, science isn't done yet. It's not that textbook over there on the wall. It's happening now.
Well, you know, a lot of researchers I talk to, when I point out, like, well, they're going to have to rewrite the history books on this one, a lot of researchers I talk to say science is not about the answers, it's about the questions. And, you know, it's always about what do you know, can you prove how you know it, and what happens if someone tries to disprove it? You know, that's how science advances, by questioning everything that has gone before. So I think this is a really fun time, actually, to be in this field of science, because it's changing and refining itself so quickly.
Very briefly, Gemma, what is the next big question on these South African fossils?
Oh, the next big question has to be, how old is Homo naledi? Mm-hmm. We found all these fossils. Well, not we, but, you know, the researchers found, I wish I'd been on or not, but the researchers found all these fantastic fossils. However, because there's no associated material that they can use to date it, they have to try some other more advanced techniques that take longer to actually date the material. That's going to really tell us everything about where Homo naledi fits in our family tree.
Well, we'll talk about that with you, Gemma, when they figure that out. Thanks a lot, as always, for being with us.
Thank you so much. Have a great day.
You too. That's Gemma Tarlak, senior editor at Discover Magazine, based in Waukesha. She was with us to talk about how hominin fossils in South Africa are shaping up the human origin story.